Brothers and sisters, if you'll return once again to Luke 17. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10 once again. So that's Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. And again, as always, this is God's Word to us, right here where we're at today. It's living and active. Beginning in verse 1. And he said to his disciples, "It's inevitable that stumbling blocks should come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' then it would obey you. But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But he will not say to him, but will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done.'" Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would hallow your name. Lord, that you would be lifted up in our hearts even now. That you would be exalted. And we would do that by, Lord, being diligent to put away all distractions of our heart and mind. And seeking to give you the worship that you're worthy of. Oh Lord, a big part of that is subjecting ourselves to you for you to do with us as you wish. For you are good and perfect in every way, and you only do what's right. And you only speak truth and that which is good and a blessing if we will receive it. And oh Father, I pray we would come under your word and we would hear you and receive it. Receive it with joy because our God is speaking truth to us that blesses. And I pray that you would cause it to bear good fruit in us, that we would hear it and we would obey as we sang, "Trusting and obeying you, Lord, is no other way." To truly walk with you in joy and be blessed is just to simply trust you in the easy things and the hard things and everything in between. And this is what you're worthy of because you're always right. You're always perfect. When we're in the dark apart from you, help us to understand that. Help us to receive the light of your word. May you bless your people with it today. May you bring us under it and cause us to leave here with not just hearing something and having knowledge, but Lord, that we would bear fruit, but living out more what you've called us to do. And through it, you would continue to build your church. Father, your church are your people. That's us. The church, we go out of here from this building, we're still the church. Still your body. And we do so with the aim and determination to live for you and your glory, because that's what you're worthy of. And Lord, until you take us home, may we always have our eyes fixed on you, our master. May we always trust you, subject ourselves to you, knowing and trusting you the whole way. Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, if you were here, you'll know and hopefully remember that we today find ourselves back in the same passage that we began to look at last week, right? Remember, we started here and we looked at a passage that's just basically, the most general way of saying this is a passage where Jesus is now turning to and speaking to and instructing his disciples. Previously, in this whole passage, remember, but we go all the way back to chapter 15, I talked about that. A big part of it, Jesus was speaking to, he was rebuking, he was warning, he was instructing the Pharisees. And now, at the beginning of this, right, after having spoken to them and warned them lastly about the place they were with God, he now turns to his disciples and begins to instruct them about stumbling blocks, about being offenses. Since offenses and stumbling blocks are inevitable. Pharisees being exhibit A as he's speaking to his disciples. He wants them to know and therefore begins to instruct them about how to handle them. Since you're not going to be able to avoid them, it's important we know about stumbling blocks, know how to view them, and know how to handle them. And that's what we spent our time last week looking at. Those first four verses as Jesus was instructing his disciples how to view, how to handle offenses and stumbling blocks when they come. Now, as we turn to our passage for today, it's still very connected because we're still in that exact same moment where Jesus was just teaching about stumbling blocks and how to handle them. And so we have here now, first, the disciples, or the apostles, we'll get to that in a moment, response to that teaching that Jesus gave them. And then immediately following that, we have Jesus then continuing to instruct the disciples based on their response to his previous teaching. That's what we have here. It's all connected, one flow of thought. Now, if I had to summarize, well, what is this second half about? The first half was about stumbling blocks, and it was about offenses and how to view them, right? Now, as we move here, it's still connected, but we have maybe a different subject to generalize, and I would say it's all about faith. This is about faith. And more specifically, Jesus here, based on the response to the disciples, begins to instruct the disciples about the kind of faith they need or the kind of faith any disciple needs to be able to follow him rightly, to be able to follow him in the instructions he's just given them, and just be able to follow him in general, right, as our master. If you trust Christ, he's your master, right? He's your Lord. We are servants. So he begins to instruct in faith. And so, you know, based on that, I would think we could see how important these instructions are for any disciple of Christ, because we're saved by what? Faith. We're to walk by what? Faith. The righteous live by what? Faith. Faith's pretty doggone important in the life of a Christ follower, right? So I would think Jesus' instructions would be very important to us because, again, he's going to instruct us a bit on faith. And specifically, the way I've broken this down, I believe Jesus reveals to us here the kind of faith we need by revealing to us three characteristics of that faith we need, right? I would say it's three kinds of faith, but that might confuse you because there's really only one faith. But these are characteristics of that faith we need as we aim to follow Christ. And so that's one I want to expound upon as we go through basically verses 5 through 10 here this morning. So what are those characteristics of faith? What kind of faith do we need? Well, first of all, I want you to see that we need a simple faith. We need a simple faith. What do I mean? Look at verses 5 and 6. Notice again, what begins here, Jesus has just spoken on what to do with the stumbling blocks and offenses, and specifically how they are to handle them when they come against them as a disciple. And what we see here is that the apostles respond by basically crying out to Jesus, what? increase our faith. Now, I do want to point out, these are the apostles responding here, not just the disciples that are responding in this way. Remember, Jesus had lots of disciples. We think of the disciples as the 12. I've talked about this before. Jesus had many disciples. There were 120 in that upper room at Pentecost, right? So he had many disciples, but 12 of these apostles, these are the very special called ones that are responding in this way. The one that had privilege of spending most time with Jesus, the one that was just up and close and witnessing all his miracles, being taught by him, spending much time. So I just want to point out, these were greatly privileged men, spiritually speaking, because of their closeness with Christ. And yet it's these men, upon hearing these instructions, that cry out, increase our faith, right? Which means, Jesus, you got to give me more faith. That's what they're saying. That's what it means to increase your faith. Like, they're saying, Jesus, I need more, right? Improve it. Give me a greater amount, right? Now, why would they say that? Well, because what Jesus has just told them to do has just become almost in their minds impossible. And they're saying, I need more faith to do what you've just told me to do. Now, what is it that was so big? What was so hard? Remember last week? Jesus had just commanded them, when somebody sins against you and they actually come to you in repentance and say, I repent and forgive me, that's implied there, you're to forgive them. But it's not just the forgiveness that was hard, it was the degree of forgiveness. Do you notice he says, how many times were they to forgive them? 7 times in the same day. So the idea again was, if your brother sins against you and they repent and you forgive, and then they sin again and they repent and you forgive, and then they, repeatedly, right? You're to continually give them the forgiveness that they seek. That was the call. So it's basically limitless here. You can almost ignore the time 7. Jesus is saying, forgive them. When a brother repents, forgiveness is the call, kind of a boundless one, right? Now, as I spoke about last week with that, that's hard. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we, as a man, natural man, we think, well, yeah, forgiveness is good and right. And we can go 2 or 3 times with a man in a day, right? But boy, you give me past that. And I'm going, man, enough's enough, right? It's not right. It's done, right? But this is why the call is so hard. Jesus says, no, you can't say enough's enough. You can't do that. Why? Well, because this is how God doesn't forgive us this way, does he? Praise God for that, right? How limited is the forgiveness of God toward us, the sinner? It's limitless, right? Praise God, because our sin is great. And any sin done against us is nothing, a drop in a bucket compared to our sin against God. And Jesus, having extended limitless forgiveness to us, is now calling us to go now and walk and follow him. Remember how what do we got to do to follow Jesus? We got to take up our cross. We got to die. And we got to follow him in hard places, right? That's why we got to die. And this is a hard thing to do, but based on, this is what we're called to do, right? And so you're just seeing the apostles in the face of such a call. Yeah, forgive. Of course, a godly Jew would forgive, right? But 7 times in the same day? Oh, Lord, increase our faith. And so what they're doing, what you're seeing with the apostles here, is, man, they are feeling the weakness of their faith in the call of Jesus here. And they're feeling the inadequacy of their faith, and they're just crying out to Jesus, increase our faith in the face of that. I don't know about you, but I can relate to them in this. There are just times, all I mean by that is there are times when the call of God he reveals to me in his word becomes so big and almost impossible in mine that I feel the way, oh God, who is adequate for such things, right? How can I do that? How can I go and do what you're called. It's just so big, and I feel the weakness of my faith. I feel it. I feel the inadequacy, and I cry out like, God, you're my only hope here, right? I mean, I can relate to them. Actually, when I see the apostles do this, it makes me feel a little better. I'm going, okay, I'm in good, decent company. I'm not, you know, this terrible, weak, in my faith kind of guy. Like, okay, the apostles were there. It's something that's common, it seems, right? But there's just times when you feel it. And so I don't think there's anything wrong when we feel the weakness of our faith to cry out to God for more. Because I think it shows that we understand where our faith comes from. Our faith is not in of ourselves. It comes from God. It's a gift of God. And so when we feel it and we call, go to God for faith, we're showing, oh, it's not in me. I'm not adequate for these things. It's you, God. And so we go to the source. That's what we're supposed to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong crying or asking God for more faith. I think we should all want more faith. I think we should all want greater faith as we grow in our walk with Christ, right? These are nothing wrong with these things. I don't believe at all. However, there is a but here, and you probably felt it coming, right? There's a place that we can't allow this to take us. Can't do that. And what I mean, we can't allow the weakness, the feeling of the weakness of our faith, a feeling of an inadequacy of faith, and the idea that, oh Lord, I don't have enough, you got to get me more. We can't let that take us to refusing to obey and walk in faith in the moment. We can't allow that to take us to go, oh God, I don't have enough faith here, you got to give me more. So until you give me more, nah, I'm not going to walk and do this. Now, we don't say it that way in our minds to God, but what we're just like, I don't have the faith for that. I just can't do it. We can't let this take us here because of what Jesus informs us, and that's this. It's not true. We don't need more faith to obey God in the moment, even though we may feel the weakness of it. We don't need more faith. What did Jesus say? What did he tell them in response to that? Oh, increase our faith, Lord, to be able to forgive like you've called us to forgive. That's beyond us. And Jesus says, well, if you had faith like a mustard seed, what? Well, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What's Jesus saying? Well, you know what a mustard seed is? We've talked about that. How big is a mustard seed? Well, it's one of the smallest seeds out there. It's teeny tiny. And he's saying, if you just had a little bit of faith, you can do unthinkable, almost impossible things in your mind, right? And that just takes a little bit of faith for remarkable things to be done by you, right? That's what he's saying. That's why he's using this example of a mulberry tree. Now, I want to caution you here. Jesus is using hyperbole when we're talking about a mulberry tree. God does not intend us to walk about casting trees nor mountains into the sea, right? That's not what he means. What he means is that these things that seem so unthinkable to you, if you just had a little bit of faith, God will accomplish that through you and through that faith. I'm also going to caution here. He doesn't call for us, if we just had enough faith, anything that pops into our mind we want, we can have it. That's not what he's telling us either, right? The word of faith stuff. He's not, what as Calvin said, this is not an excuse to be able to just ask for anything that your fleshly mind desires, right? Because that's where, this is not a thing of flesh. Faith is a thing of the spiritual man. And so it's not just whatever I want. If I just had enough faith, I'd get it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is whatever God calls you to. See, that's what, faith in God. So whatever God's calling you to and calling you to trust in Him, if you just had a little bit, you can do it. It just takes a little bit of faith. You don't have to have some great mountain-sized faith to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. And why is that? Well, I want to propose to you, it's because it's not our faith that accomplishes anything. It's the God that our faith is in that accomplishes all things. And God is limitless in power, limitless in wisdom, and limitless in ability. And if our faith in Him, whatever it is He's called us to do, whatever it is He's called us to walk in, He will do it and can do it. We just need to. We just need the faith. So listen, when we get in the temptation to go, I don't have enough faith, I can't move any further, we can't use that as an excuse, because our problem is not that we don't have enough faith. The problem is we're not exercising the faith we have. Do you understand the difference? Exercising your faith is like just doing what God's called you to do, choosing to trust and obey, like we just sang. It just takes a little bit of faith to trust God and to do what He's told us to do. So even like here, the problem is not that they didn't have enough faith. Jesus is telling them, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could tell this tree to be cast in the sea. That's what He's telling them, is just activate your faith that you do have. Just exercise the faith, the little bit of faith that you have, right? Because it's not some grand faith we need. If it's sincere faith, you have what you need to just trust God. Nothing's impossible if you'll just trust Him, take that step, and trust Him for all the results, no matter what that is. So in light of that, I would just ask you this morning, is there any place in your life where you're tempted to maybe use not having enough faith as an excuse not to continue forward and do what God's wanting you to do? Is it that you don't have enough faith, or is it you're just refusing to do the hard thing because maybe you don't want to? Maybe you're scared if you do that. Maybe you don't want God what God wants. Whatever the reason, you're choosing. It's not I can't, it's I won't. I want you to understand that. Is there any place in your life where you're I won't and you're saying I can't as an excuse? Perhaps it's in the area of forgiveness, hard forgiveness. You know, forgiveness like Christ calls us to is very difficult. Because when we forgive like He's talking about in hard things, I mean, little petty things, yeah, we forgive. But I mean, when there's real sin and injury of some kind, it's hard to forgive as He calls us to, which is a choosing to go, the debt's gone. It's too costly to us to just let it go, right? It's hard unless we have faith and trust this is the way. Or perhaps it's in what He was calling to do before that. Like, if somebody sins against you, go to your brother. Well, that is not easy. We talked about that. Nobody loves to go to your brother and go, hey, you've sinned against me, right? That's confrontation. Nobody loves confrontation. And so that takes faith, because what will happen? What's the results? And you've got to go, I need more faith. No, you just exercise a faith. If you have faith in Christ, you trust Him. Take that step. This is what's good. This is what's right. And I'll trust you for the results, right? Or perhaps it's in a whole other area. Perhaps it's in an area of submission. I use that because this is common to man. Submitting to those who God has given authority over us is a very hard thing for us to do. None of us like to submit, right? But this is the way of God, and He's called us to trust Him, right? To just take, well, what about when I think they might be taking me the wrong way? Well, unless they're telling you to sin against God, that's not your call. There's no asterisk next to that. And faith and trust just says, okay, I will trust You, Lord, and follow them, right? Because that's who you're trusting when you do that. It's the Lord and not them. Or perhaps it's in the area of being a witness for Christ more publicly, right? In whatever way, going out and telling, that's a hard thing to do. The fear of man is great, and we fear what will be the results of those, and we know Jesus has called us to witness to Him in some way, shape, or form out there, right? And so that's a big one where people say, I can't. I'm just not gifted that way. I've not been given this or that. No. Do you have faith? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you'll just activate that, exercise that faith, God will come in and take care of the rest. The results are all His. You're just in trust. God is good and right. Whatever He tells me to do, I trust Him. You just take that, just exercise the faith you have, right? So I say to follow Christ, we don't have to have some gigantic, like, you know, Puritan type faith. I look at those, some of the past heroes in the faith, and man, their faith was huge, and I want a faith like that. We don't have to have some super faith. We just need to exercise the faith we have. You need a simple faith and to walk in it. That's the first one. We need a simple faith. The second one we need, I want you to see, is we need a disciplined faith. A discipline. What in the world do I mean? Well, bear with me. Look at verses 7 and 8. Here, Jesus is continuing on. It's very connected to what he just said. It's flowing out of the same teaching. He's responded to them. Remember, they've just cried out to him for more faith. Which the implication of that is what? It's too hard. What you've asked us to do is too hard. We're going to need more faith. So Jesus first replies, we just looked at that in verse 6, to the needing more, basically by saying, no, you don't. You just need a little. If you got a little, just tiny, you've got enough, right? And now continuing in that thought, he's replying to the hardness of the cry for, it's too hard. And he's going to address that here. And he addresses it by telling the story about a master and a slave. You see it? He says, but which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep? Now picture this, we're talking about a slave out in the hot Palestinian sun all day long, right? So don't imagine them sitting in the comfort of like you're sitting right now. No, they're out in the hot Palestinian sun and they have worked all day tending sheep or plowing or something for the master. And he comes in, he said, how many of you, if you were the master and this is your slave comes in, how many of you would tell him, okay, now you sit here, pull up a chair and take it easy for a while and eat and drink? And the implied answer to that is none of you would, right? Why? That's not the way the master-slave relationship works. No, he said, what you're going to do first is you're going to, after he's worked all day, you're going to tell him, now, before you do anything else, you go and get cleaned up and get dressed and make my food and serve me. And then once all that's done, then you can take your break. Now, what's Jesus' point? Jesus' point here is that being a servant or a slave requires hard things. See, the master and slave relationship calls for the slave to what? To do what the master tells them, even in those times when it's hard, even in those times where you don't feel like it. Do you imagine if you were that servant or that slave and you had worked out in the field all day? Would you have felt like coming in and, oh, let me get dressed, let me make food for my master and doing all that? Is that what you would feel like? Or would you feel like, man, I deserve a break, right? And I want to take a break. Well, guess what? As a slave, you don't have that luxury. That's not yours to decide, right? No, your call as a slave to the master is to go on and do the hard work, whatever he calls you to do. Right? Make sense? So Jesus' argument here is from the lesser to the greater. He always does that. And his point is, if that's the way it is with an earthly master-slave relationship, how much more is it with God and Christ as our master? Now, you got to always remember, because in our minds, we have certain thoughts about slavery, right? The Bible talks a lot about it. We ought to let the Bible inform us. Jesus is the perfect master. Jesus is a good master. And somebody that knows Jesus, it ought to always be joy to serve our master. Understand, and it shouldn't be burdensome to us. But understand, Jesus does call us to hard obedience. That's why he said you got to take up your cross and you got to die. And Jesus calls us, if we're his servants, we're his slaves, which we are. Apostle Paul, how do you start every letter? The Apostle Paul, right? A slave to Christ, called by. So we're slaves to Christ. He's the master. He's going to call us to hard things. And he's going to call us to do things when we don't feel like it. When we think they're very hard, right? Like here. And so he's calling the apostles here. This isn't too hard. This is just what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to obey me, right? This is what he's getting to see. No, this is just what it means to be my servant. You do what I tell you to do. This is the life of the believer. Matthew Henry pointed out, he said, this is our life, right? We're following Christ. Our days should be filled up with doing our duty to Christ. And when we get done with one task, we just go on to the next. This is the life of the believer, right? We don't have this luxury of saying, I don't feel like it. No, Jesus is our good master. And we're to follow him. And that's in any area of our life, whether it's forgiveness. Again, I go back to, this is the context. Obviously, forgiveness must be a hard thing. for this to be here in our passage, and the disciples cry out like they have, and it is to true biblical forgiveness, to choose to let it go. I mean, people have all kinds of reasons that they can't, right? I got to see if you're truly repentant first. I've got to feel like it first. I've got to get to a certain... No. Jesus calls, oh, no, you forgive. That's what I believe. So that's one place, but this is true in any area of your life, all right? I mean, I know you're probably tired of me using this example, talking to you fathers and husbands, but doesn't he call us to hard things sometimes? I mean, we're called to go out and work and provide, and we go out and do that, and we've worked hard all day. We may have been out in the hot sun. We may have been tending sheep and plow. Who knows what we're doing, right? And we come into the home. What are we ready to do? We're ready to sit down and eat and drink and take a rest and have everybody leave us alone, right? I mean, they can talk to me, but, just be nice to me and give me my food or whatever. When Jesus probably calling us maybe to hard things, right? Like, my wife needs me. I've got to put on my apron and see what she needs. Or my children need me, right? And their kids are fighting and the wife needs me just to deal with that. Whatever. These are just these simple things. I mean, it could be much harder. Bad news has come. I don't know. But he calls us for hard things, and we may not feel like it because we're tired. We've worked hard, and we've worked hard to the Lord, right? We do it for the glory. But we don't get to just say, well, I'm done. Jesus, I don't have enough faith for that. No, this is what we're called to do, right? And it's the same for wives. I can't leave y'all out. Mothers, right? Same thing. You all day long, you could have been with the kids, right? And you feel like you need to go break. And you don't get the luxury of just saying, time out, I'm done. I'm out of here for a while. What's needed, right? What's needed? What's your husband need? What's your children need? According to the Lord, right? He's always your master who you're serving, actually, as you serve your children, as you serve your husband. And children, you don't get it out if you're a believer, right? You're to honor your father and mother. How often? Do you get tired of it? It seems that way. I mean, but it's not supposed to be that way, right? Honor the Lord by honoring your parents in hard things. It seems hard to you. You sure don't feel like doing what they're telling you to do. But if you serve in the Lord, you do it, right? And it's in an area of your life. That was the home. What about in the church? Is there hard obedience there? Yeah, I mean, I think just the call to come in and give yourself to the body. Give yourself to others, right? To actually serve the Lord by serving His people and one anothering. Encourage one another and rebuke one another and be hospitable one another and love one another and teach one another. And I could go on and on. There's 31 of them if you want to look them up. But you can't do that unless you give yourself to the people of God. And believe me, you got to be here to do that. You can't one another from a distance or in thought. Give yourself. And, well, I've been working hard all day, right? I want to just sit down and, what's the Lord calling you to do? That's all I'm saying, right? What's the Lord calling you to do? And so as I get around to it, it's called the Lord is our master, and He's worthy. We'll get to that. He calls us to obey. We don't get the luxury of saying, well, I'm tired. This is what we do. That's why we need a disciplined faith. Because discipline, is all I'm saying, is discipline does what you should do even when you don't feel like it. That's what discipline does, right? Discipline says, you know what to do. You know the right thing to do. You know the best thing to do. But you sure don't feel like it, and so you're very tempted to not. Right? And discipline says, no, even though I don't feel like it. Discipline says, no, even though this is hard, I'm going to do it anyway because this is what's right and what's good. I mean, you can take it out to the simplest. Olympic athletes, right? Are they disciplined people? Boy, I'm telling you, just think of those marathon runners. What have they got to be disciplined to do? They got to be disciplined to get up out of that bed early in the morning, go eat something healthy, right? And then go out and run for hours on end. Do you think there's days and mornings they don't feel like doing that? You better believe it, but guess what they do? Nope, that's what I got to do. I've got a goal in mind, right? So they're disciplined. Well, it's the same way with the spiritual man. And the faith is you've got to be disciplined because you know Christ is the goal. He's the one I'm serving. Yeah, I'm not going to feel like it a lot of times, but that doesn't matter. I go and I serve because that's what's right and that's what He's worthy of. Make sense? Last one and we'll finish. We need a simple faith. We need a disciplined faith and we need a humble faith. We need a humble faith. Look at the last two verses. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus continues here, doesn't He? Teaching this story about the slave who's worked all day and who's come in, and he says, you know, you're not going to tell him to sit down. You're going to have him finish the hard work, and then when he's done with everything, then he can sit down, right? And then at the end of that, he says, when he's done that, when the slave has done all he's supposed to do, and he's come to the end of the day, he said, well, the master doesn't thank the slave, does he? Because he's done those things. Oh, thank you. You have done. Does he thank him? And the implied answer is no, he doesn't, right? Why? Because he's only done that which he was supposed to do. You see that? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. What Jesus is calling the disciples to do here, right, in the sight of or in the face of this hard obedience is like, this is what you should do because this is what a servant does. And when you do it, don't expect that you're going to get some special honor and some special recognition from God because you deserve it. The point here is we never make God our debtors, right? We never make God our debtors to give us some special reward or response for our obedience to Him. Why? Because when we obey Him, this is what's only what's good and right. This is the way it's been from the beginning, right? He created us to what? To obey Him. Isn't that what's good and right? And so what Jesus is pointing out here is you're not going beyond what's good and right. You're not the special case when you do hard obedience. And they needed to hear this, and sometimes we need to hear this, because if we're ever called to hard things, especially if we're called to hard things that we see others not doing or others not called to, right? Like, well, they don't have to do that. Why am I having to do this hard thing, right? Like Peter, when Jesus called him, you know, after he rose from the dead, and he said, you're going to be taken where you don't want to go, and what he means is you're going to die for me. And what did Peter do? He stopped and he looked and he saw John following him. He said, what about him? Right? What? Does he have to do that too? And Jesus said, what's that got to do? What's he got to do with you? That's his point. You may be called to very hard things that others don't have to walk through, and we're tempted to go, boy, am I special. I'm a pretty big deal. God's probably going to give me quite the slap on the back and quite the reward that others won't get. You see what I'm saying? And we can't do that. Humility says, no, I don't deserve anything from the Lord. He's worthy of obedience, period. I only deserve actually judgment in hell. And it's all that I've received favor is all the grace of God. How much more is He worthy of just me obeying Him out of that? That's why we need a humble faith. So that we don't get proud when we do hard things that somehow we're special. We're only unworthy slaves doing what we're called to do. Now, as I close, some of you may ask, well, doesn't Jesus promise us that He will reward us for our obedient faith? Yes, He does. Praise God, He does, right? He most definitely will. But what you got to understand is He's not going to reward you because He has to. He doesn't owe you. You understand? Isn't that what makes it so much more sweet? Why does Jesus reward it? Same way He saves it. It's all by grace. Out of the goodness and generosity of God, He, out of His good will reward His servants for faithful obedience. But it's not because we've made Him some debtor to us and we deserve to be honored and we're going to get to sit on thrones because, boy, we're a big deal. Oh, no, not at all. We don't deserve anything. God only deserves faithful obedience. So may we always see it that way. Humble ourselves before Him and do what only He is worthy of. So may we seek may we seek to follow God by faith, trust and obey at all times, even in the hard things, especially in the hard things, right? But may we do it with humility, confessing before God that this is what you deserve all the time, and I'm just an unworthy servant, serving and obeying by faith a great and worthy God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you, again, continue to have this word. Just stay with us. Help us to see by faith the glory of our Savior and how worthy He is to follow in obedience no matter where He calls or what He calls us to do. He's the worthy one. We're the unworthy servants. So may we walk by humility as we do that. Help us to be disciplined and help us just to simply trust you and exercise the faith you've given us. Oh, Father, keep uniting us, making us one. Keep increasing your love in us for you and one another. And, Father, keep making us into the image of Christ so He is seen and you are glorified. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.